I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound.
Is this on?
Well, let's go by the heartbeat.
Let's try it again. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up. Let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled, for faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a glimpse of glory bright. But still I'll pray till heaven I've found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. And
so many times we have a problem sometimes, even after we see God work, we have a problem to step back a little bit, amen? And God, we call it stepping back, but the technical term for it is backsliding. Amen. Now, none of us are doing that because we're all fairly new, and we got some new folks over here, and so they don't know anything about it. But the only thing backsliding is when you're going forward for the Lord, you're full blast, you're on go, and then something happens, something staggers you or something stumbles you, and you take a few steps backwards from the direction in which you were going. Amen. You're facing forward but moving backward. You know, they invented a dance called the moonwalk. Amen. And they were looking forward and going this way. Amen. Now, I'm not a great dancer. Amen. At least not in front of you folks, but you catch me later and we might trip tonight. But in all of these things, we're not going to trip tonight, so don't catch me later. Amen. When I was young and agile, I could do those things. Amen. Now, if I trip tonight, I've really tripped this night. Amen. And so what we're going through is trying to get our churches and get our hearts back in the same place where we were focused and moving forward for the Lord. Amen. And now tomorrow night we're going to teach you a song tomorrow night, amen, that y'all could get a chance to get involved with, amen. It's going to be a fun song. It's going to be a congregational song because it's a song that was written that just before they got together to move out, amen. It was a song when they began to march towards the worshiping of the Lord, amen. The trumpet would sound, the assemblies would come out there, and there would literally be millions of people in the street, amen. They're lined up by tribes coming over there because they had surrounded that they were surrounded the tabernacle. They were each three tribes on each side of the tabernacle. But when they blew that trumpet, that a sound of assembly, they all got together, and all of a sudden there was a cadence led, and they began to head towards the house of God. And I'm here to tell you, it created a booming sound that even the enemies of God feared. Amen. It was awesome. Amen. And the only thing they were doing was going to the house of the Lord to worship. Amen. And so we're going to look at part of that song tomorrow night, if you don't mind. Let me encourage you to invite people to be here. Amen. It'll be fun. And I'm going to do something that I didn't do the last few nights. Amen. I'm going to try and, let me stop before I make a liar of myself. I was going to try and get y'all out of here a little early, but I'm not. But I didn't want to give you false hopes either. Amen. Turn to John, the Gospel of John, chapter number 21. The Gospel of John, chapter number 21 this evening. The Gospel of John, chapter number 21. And we're going to start reading in verse number 15. The Gospel of John, chapter number 21 and verse number 15. When you get there, say amen. John chapter number 15, John chapter 21 and verse number 15. And we're going to stand for the reading of the Word of God. The Bible says in verse number 15, "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? But Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? If y'all don't know who that is, this is John talking about himself. Amen. He said, Peter seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Father, we do love you and thank you today for your grace and mercy, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the privilege again being at this great church, Shining Light Baptist Church, Lord, with our great pastor, Father, Pastor Greg Dawson, Lord. I thank you for him, Lord. Thank you for what you've done in his life, him and his dear wife and his family, Lord. Thank you for the example that you've given him, made him, Lord, and given to me, Lord. Just does my heart absolutely proud to see what God has done, what you've done in his life and through this church. I pray now, Father, that you work with our hearts tonight, Lord, and that you make us what we need to be. Lord, help us to examine ourselves to make sure that we're where we're supposed to be. And as for me, Lord, again, forgive me where I fail you, Lord. Forgive me of sin. Once again, empty me of self, Lord. I'm not presumptuous to think that you need to use me. Fill me with your spirit, Lord, that, Father, I may once again be your servant. That in all things, Father, you get the glory. So take charge of all things tonight. We praise you and love you. We're lifting you up. We praise you in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen, Lord, and amen. You may be seated this evening, folks. There's no doubt in my mind that this is a familiar passage to many, amen, especially if you're here at Shining Light. There's no doubt in my mind that as Pastor Dawson has probably gone through the book of John, that this has come up, amen, and some areas and challenges that has come up as well, amen. We are in the midst of an episode here, though, of backsliding that God's going to show us, amen, and it happened very subtly, amen. We're going to find in verse 3 the words, I go fishing. Now, let me give you something here. Let me set up the stage best I can. Amen. The Lord Jesus had raised from the dead. Amen. And he had been seen of the apostles not once. Amen. But he had been seen of them twice. The Lord Jesus had already met with them in the upper room, amen. He met with them in the upper room on one Sunday, Sunday evening, amen. I always tell people, they sit up there and say, well, I can't get to Sunday evening service. They don't realize the very first service that was held after the resurrection was a Sunday evening service, not a Sunday morning service, amen. And so they, and by the way, 8 days later, when Thomas wasn't there, he met with them again, and it was again on a Sunday evening service, amen. So his main emphasis was on the Sunday evening services at that time, amen. And so here they are, they had seen the Lord. The first time they had saw him in the upper room, the Lord breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost, amen, which meant they had the Holy Spirit in them. However, the Holy Spirit of God had not empowered the church yet, which is why the Lord Jesus told them to tarry in Jerusalem till they had been endowed with power, until the Holy Spirit of God literally energized them and activated them to do the work that God would have them to do. Amen? You with me so far? Real simple principle. They should have been waiting. They should have been tarrying. But in fact, they got over there and they got around the waters. Amen? And then all of a sudden, Peter says, I go a-fishing. Right. Amen? Now, Peter, he may have been loudmouth, he may have been brash, he may have put his foot in his mouth more times you can shake a stick at, but he was still the de facto leader of this group. And when he said, I go a-fishing, several others of the apostles who were with him said, we also go with thee. Right. Now, when they said, I'm going fishing, it's not saying, hey, fellas, you know, since we're waiting around, why don't we just go out on a quick fishing trip and catch a few fish? What they were saying was, I quit. I'm going back to what I'm used to. I'm going back to my old life. Amen. I'm going back to fishing like I used to fish before I made money at it. There was no hassles with it. And again, this was after they had seen the Lord twice. This was after he had breathed on them and said, receive you the Holy Ghost. Amen. There was no reason, no incentive for them to quit. Amen. Right. But when he said, I go a-fishing, you had several others that said, let me read it for you here. I don't want to get it wrong. Verse number 3, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught, what's that word there? Nothing. They caught absolutely nothing. Now, by the way, they're fishing in that boat all night. They've gone back to their old life, but you find out something. At least I found out something. When I got saved, my old life was gone. Any man is in Christ is a new creature. Behold, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. My old life was gone, and I didn't know how to be the old person anymore. Amen. It was awkward for me doing the old things anymore. There was not a conviction that was taking place when I went back and did the old things. Amen. There was something uniquely different that happened to me that didn't let me be comfortable in the old life anymore. Right. Amen. Now, that may be just me, but I tell you, it had a profound effect when the maniac of Gadara got saved. He could no longer be his old self. Amen. When Peter got saved, he was trying to be his old self, but you'll find out that he fails at it miserably. Amen. And so they're going back to this old life, and the Bible tells us something. It said, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But watch this here. When you start backsliding, you don't even recognize when Jesus is beckoning. So he said, but the disciples knew not what? That it was Jesus. Verse number 4. Verse number 5, then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? And watch what they said. They answered him, and what's that word there? But look at that word. All of a sudden you have a capital N-O. That tells you something. When they said no, they didn't say no. No, we ain't got nothing. We ain't caught nothing. No, they hollered. Children, have ye any meat? No! They're out there fishing. By the way, I found out backslidden people are bitter. They really are. They've got no reason to smile, no reason to go forward. You show me a bitter person, I show you a backslidden person. Amen? I mean, they identify themselves. You come and say, I won't be able to make it there. Well, good thing. Praise the Lord. I can't imagine you bringing that to church. Amen? You'll ruin the whole spirit of God. Amen. And so as they answered the Lord, as the Lord told them to do something, the Lord told them to cast their net down. Now, they had been fishing all night. They caught nothing. Jesus told them to cast their net down on the right side. By the way, you can cast your net on many different directions, amen, but your best bet is to put it on the right side. Why? Because that's where the fish are. It's amazing. You can fish all night and catch nothing. In the daytime, when you're not supposed to catch anything, Jesus tells you to put your net down and you catch something. Right. It said, and he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall what? Find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Amen. So all of a sudden the net is full. There's 153 fish in there. By that time, once they recognize that, they think, oh man, it goes back. Flashback happens. And automatically, they go back to the first time they've ever seen this happen. And when they first seen it happen at the command of somebody, the first thing comes out their mouth. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, and I love the way John talks about himself in the third person. He said, I'm the man. I'm the man. But I don't want to brag on myself. Amen. I'll just identify the person who's writing this as the person whom Jesus loved. Like he didn't love the other 10 guys. Amen. He loves all of us. But, you know, we got a lady in our church by the name of Sister Pinkston. And Sister Pinkston is quick to say, I'm God's fave. That's short for favorite. Amen. And she'll tell you that no matter who you are, yes, I'm God's fave. I'm God's fave. Boy, look what God did for me. It's because I'm his fave. Amen. And I listened to that, and I just have to let her know, you know, sister, I must be his fave because he allowed me to have the privilege of being able to worship with you. So I must be his fave. Amen. And I said, boy, my father is so wonderful how I know I'm his number one, but he allows you to feel special too. Boy, I love it. Amen. And by the way, I feel the same way about y'all. Amen. I know I'm his number one, but I'm glad he makes you feel special too. Amen. Well, they realize it's him. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Amen. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was what? Now, he got backslid, and all of a sudden, he goes bareback over. You know, how far back do you have to go? Amen? Then it says he was naked and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net of fishes. Amen. So get all of that together. They're all together in the ship. Jesus tells them to cast the net on the right side. They catch these fish. There's 153 of them. They're going to come to the shore, and Jesus doesn't need their fish. He's going to ask them to bring them of the fish that they had caught, but Jesus doesn't need their fish, because when you read there, you'll find out that he already had bread and fish upon the fire. He already had food prepared for them. Amen. That's an awesome thing, isn't it? God fixing a meal for you. God did, and by the way, fixing the meal for you and preparing for you in your backslidden state. Amen. Where you should be sent to bed without your supper. He's already making a meal for them. Amen. And so they come to shore, and Jesus tells them to come and dine, come and eat. And I'm here to tell you that had to be the most awkward breakfast you could ever sit at. Can you imagine the awkward silence that was going on there with all these backslidden people looking at Jesus, and Jesus that fixed the food, and Jesus. Now, by the way, Jesus didn't call them, but I'll tell you what's the truth. Come on, you low-down, lousy, quitting rascals. He didn't call them any names, amen? Amen. He could have. Your faithless crew, what's wrong with you? But he just calmly set them down there, and they all ate in this awkward silence. And the awkward silence continues on until Jesus poses a question to Peter. It says, after they eaten, he said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Amen. Now, I found out something about the Lord Jesus and the Word of God, how they try to handle things. When Peter was fleshly, God called him Simon. Amen. When he was really fleshly, he called him Simon, Simon. When he was really spiritual, you hear him say, Peter, Peter. When he was lukewarm and made God sick, he called him Simon, Peter. What side are you going to be on? You going to be on the heavenly side, the spiritual side, or you going to be on the worldly side? Amen. And so which one, by the address, what did he call him? So which way do you think he's going? He's who? Simon. He's vacillating. And God has to catch him. God has to do something before Peter's gone altogether, because he's already quit. So he's catching him right in the middle of his shortcoming. Amen. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Now, by the way, keep this in mind. This question seems like it's directed towards who? Simon, Peter, right? But was it directed directly towards Peter? Let me help you. No. Do you know why? Guess who else was sitting there? Guess who else heard the question? Guess who else was probably saying, man, I'm glad he didn't ask me that question. But guess who else he did ask the question? Because they all quit on Jesus. Well, I wouldn't have quit if it wasn't for Peter. You probably would have. Peter just gave you a way out. All of them heard the question. And by the way, if I'm sitting there, I'm probably glad I wouldn't have asked the question either. Amen. But I could look and see how Peter's going to answer it, so I could get my notes. You know, let's take notes how Peter's going to answer this here. Because he may ask me the question next. And what will I tell him? How will I answer him? Now, the conventional wisdom happens this way. Peter denied the Lord Jesus at the devil's fire how many times? Three times. And the conventional wisdom says, so Jesus allowed him to redeem himself in his love towards him three times. Amen. But Jesus didn't have to ask anybody three times about anything. Jesus, and Peter also understood. Jesus knew the answer from the very first time he asked a question. Even when the Lord was asking them, have ye any meat? You know what? Jesus already knew they didn't catch anything. It wasn't so Jesus could get the answer from them. It was so they can have the answer for them. I love the way the Lord does that. He causes you and I to question ourselves. Where is my relationship with Jesus? Now, I want to give you a little bit more background, then we're going to get into the overall crux of the message here. The Bible tells us back over in 21 in verse number 1, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. They were together, and it tells you who was in the ship. Said one, Simon Peter. Amen. You see that vacillation there? Simon Peter. He's about fleshly right now. He's worldly. He's in and out. And by the way, church, folks, please, be hot or cold, but don't be lukewarm. Because when you're hot, at least we know we can count on you. Amen. When you're cold, at least we know we can't. Amen. But when you're lukewarm, you confuse us. And according to Revelation, you make God sick. He said, I will spew thee out of my mouth. I will vomit you up. So he said, I would that y'all were hot or cold. Amen. Be one or the other. And I guarantee you, if you're cold, Pastor Dawson will not call on you to do anything. Amen. Amen. And he will not expect you to do anything. So if you did do something, he might seem surprised. Well, amen. If you're hot, he doesn't expect you not to do anything.
That's right.
I can count on them. By the way, there's reasons why people are qualified for offices and why some are not.
Right.
Amen. And so here he is. He's got that position, Simon Peter. And Peter was the type of person, just give you a little bit of character reference on these guys. Peter was the type of person that you couldn't tell anything. You know any of those people? Hard-headed, know everything. You're smiling, sister. That's not you, is it? Amen. Hard-headed. You couldn't tell him anything. Every time you turn around when somebody said something, he tried to rebuke the Lord himself in Matthew chapter number 16. After the Lord gave him a compliment. By the way, the last thing you could do with a certain person like Simon Peter is give him a compliment because he's going to make you take it back later. He said, oh, Simon, oh, Peter, he said, thou art a Simon, and upon this rock I will build my church. And boy, Peter's all bragging, and all the other disciples are looking and say, yeah, I'm the man. And Jesus began to tell him how he's going to suffer and die. And Peter grabbed him and rebuked him and said, it's not going to be so. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Man, that's a big transition. Peter was the one on the Mount of Transfiguration, and everybody else was sitting in awe and silence, seeing Moses and seeing Elijah and seeing Jesus, and they was in awe. And Peter opened his mouth and said, it's good that we be here. Let's build three tabernacles. He was the first one to invent church hopping. Let's build three tabernacles, and we'll go over here and worship with you one day, worship with Jesus one day, and worship with Elijah one day, and we'll go over to this church one day, and go over to this church one day, and bless this church one day. And the voice came from heaven. It said, this is my beloved son. Hear ye him. When they opened up their eyes, there was nobody there but Jesus only. I mean, Peter was quick to put his foot in his mouth. You couldn't tell him anything. He told him, and by the way, he said this in front of all the other disciples. And sometimes, preacher, I hate when folks get up and give a testimony. I love my church. I love my pastor. And I love the Lord. And I can see me staying here for the rest of my life. Pastor, I've been praying about this and I'm out of here. Peter said, everybody else might deny you, Lord, but I will never deny you. I would die I would die before I deny you. Amen. He's the ringleader. Before the other ones could get the denial out. By the way, Peter was brash too. Boy, they came over there in the garden looking for the Lord Jesus. Jesus said, whom seek thou? And they said, they're seeking Jesus. When he said that, the people fell down. Wham! Crashed down. All of a sudden, Peter steps up. He grabs a sword out of one of the soldiers' things. Malchus goes over there and swings, tries to cut Malchus' head off. Amen. People say, but he only got his ear. Amen. Jesus had to rebuke him. Put the sword away. What's wrong with you, Peter? That's God. He said, if you live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword. Jesus picks up Malchus's ear, puts it back on his head. And by the way, Peter got Malchus's ear, not because he was aiming at his ear. I guarantee you, he was trying to slice his head open. He was trying to cut his head off, amen. But Malchus did like you and I would do. Whoa! And he only got an ear. Amen. By the way, Peter don't know how to use a sword anyway. He's a fisherman. That's God, what you doing with the sword, Peter? And you could almost see in Peter's mind sometimes when he was going through this thing, as he was going at it. It's almost like, hey, I saw what Jesus did. He just spoke his name and then all of those folks fell backwards. It's like, Jesus, if I get in trouble, could you say your name again? He's in the boat. Amen. Now, we don't have any Simon Peters here, do we? We got folks here who has a humble heart that will receive what thus saith the Lord. Right. Amen. He says somebody else is there too. Now, I'm giving you these people so you can understand why they could all be in the same boat together and catch nothing. They got another guy here, Thomas, called Didymus. Anybody know what Thomas is known for? Doubting. Do you know what his name really means? It means seeker of truth. It means I don't want to just take what you say at face value. Thomas was doubting everything. Amen. Thomas was one of those people, even, and by the way, we don't have any doubters here. I'm just giving you the illustration here, amen, because all of us are firm believers. Amen. Thomas was a doubter. Amen. Thomas came over there when they was getting ready to march through Samaria. He said, you know, Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria. And they said, you know, they seek to kill you over there. And Jesus said, I still need to go. And Thomas said, well, if we're going, we might as well go in and die over there too. He was always doubting things. When the Lord Jesus appeared to him, to the rest of the disciples, and they said, Thomas, the Lord was here. He said, I ain't going to believe it. I ain't going to believe it until I'm able to put my hand, my fingers in his wounds and his hand. And as I take my fist and thrust it in his side, I will not believe. Amen. He doubted. Amen. Doubted. Bless the Lord. We need some folks who's just going to trust God for a change instead of doubt what everything God says. Amen. Since some other people are in there too. I like these two guys. He says, we got Thomas, we got Simon, we got Nathanael. You know who Nathanael was? Anybody know who Nathanael was? You find out about Nathanael when Philip comes to tell him that they have found the Messiah. And he says, Philip, Nathanael is sitting under a tree. And Philip comes to him and says, we have found the Messiah. And Nathanael said, can any good thing come out of Galilee? You know what he's doing? He's criticizing. Amen? He's criticizing. We don't have any criticizers here, do we? No, praise the Lord. I'm behind it 100%. God knows my heart. He's criticizing the Lord even before he met him. And the Lord Jesus comes up on him, amen, and said, Nathanael. And he begins to give characteristics about Nathanael. He said, he's a Jew. He's not a heel grabber. He really, really, really has a character thing going for him. And Nathanael breaks down. But before that, he's criticizing. Now, let's look at our crew so far. We got a hard-headed guy. We got a doubting guy. Can you imagine that? Peter said, I know where the fish are. I've been fishing all my life. Bless God, we just need to go out a little further. And the doubter up there talking about, we ain't going to catch no fish. I'm telling you, the moon is too high and the waves is too low. And we ain't got, you know, I don't even know what we're doing out here. And Nathaniel, bless God, if you just let me tell you what's going on, because you don't even have the right kind of net. Look how you tied that knot. He's criticizing everything, and he's not doing anything. When Jesus found him, he wasn't doing anything, sitting under a tree. Some of y'all look like, man, that sounds like my relative. He comes over here, he has two more people, the sons of Zebedee. The sons of thunder, James and John, they are the type of Christians, the type of people who look for position. Amen. They're the ones who came to the Lord and said, when you come into your kingdom, could you grant it that I sit on your right hand and my brother sits on your left hand? And Jesus said, you know, gentlemen, by his way, they asked him in front of the other disciples. The other disciples got a little bit upset about that because they wanted to ask that question, amen? They got asked him in front of him, and Jesus said, it's not for me to give you that position. You know, that's for my father to do those things. So you know what they did? They went and talked to their mom, and they asked their mom to go ask Jesus. And then their mom comes up to Jesus and said, Jesus, when you come into your kingdom, could you grant it that one of my sons sit on your right hand and on the left hand? Now, could you imagine the Lord listening to this lovely lady and looking at those rascals? Thinking, I just told them about this thing. And I don't know why they got you involved in this here, but I'm going to tell you the same thing that I'm going to tell them. That I told them. But I'm going to deal with them later. Amen. They want position. They're not going to do anything. I can see them out there in the boat. Bless God, whether this thing sinks or swims, whatever it takes. I ain't going to do nothing. Just going to sit here. Now, they're all in the boat. They're all going down the road, the thing, and they catch nothing. Jesus finds them. Sees them, because he already knows where they're at. They caught nothing. Jesus asked a question of them, and the question was a simple one. Verse 15. You see, it wasn't a question of the ship that they were in. It wasn't a question of the net that they used. It wasn't a question whether or not there was any fish in the water. The boat held them up all night. The net was still used the next day to catch the fish. Amen. There was plenty of fish in there. Amen. The only problem was the people who were doing the actual fishing. Amen. Jesus gets the ringleader of that crew. And he says, and I love the way he did this. Look down at verse number 12. The Bible said, actually verse number 11. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153, and for all there were so many, yet, what, was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine, and none of the disciples doth ask him, what, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. So this is awkward. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth thanks and fish likewise. Now, this is now the what time? The third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was risen from the dead. And now the questioning begins. Amen? Are y'all all at the breakfast with me? Early in the morning, bread being passed around, Jesus blessed it. I got my bread, I got my fish, I got my things here, I'm ready to eat. But at the same time, I'm feeling really awful because I've quit on the very one who's feeding me now. Amen. I've quit on him. And as I'm sitting there and I'm eating these things here, it's silent and it's all that's going on. And then Jesus turns. And by the way, even at a whisper, this had to be the loudest voice they could ever hear. Jesus says, Simon, son of Jonas. Look at y'all. I bet you that name in many of y'all heads shot up looking at me. That's exactly what they did looking at him. Lovest thou me more than these? Now, I tell you, when it all came down to it, Jesus said the problem with this whole fishing expedition, the problem with these people that are in this ship, the problem with all of this here is one of those problems of love and a relationship with the Lord Jesus. It was never about the fish. It was never about the criticizing of them. It was never about their character. It was all about love. And I find this to be true, folks. Many times when it comes down to how we handle the church and how we handle the things of God and the ministry of God, it's all about love. I said some things last night and I told you I love this. I love these things. I love it so much that I could be here all night and where people slap out. I got to be careful. Amen. Because I got to realize not everybody has the same love and passion for this that I do. Amen. There's others who did. I have remembered staying up countless hours with Pastor Dawson. I mean, and Sister Dawson. I mean, countless hours. And we just, well, that Christian nightclub and thing came out because we were always together fellowshipping, answering questions, going back and forth. And by the way, I could say this about your pastor. He is ever learning. He's always asking questions, asking scenarios, asking situational things here, and asking how this motivates and how this moves and how this works. He constantly asks those questions because he wants to be better at the things of God than he's ever been before, and it's awesome. I love talking with him. We can't get on the phone and stay on the phone a few moments because questions are going to come out, scenarios are going to come out, and he's going to ask, how's that place over there doing? I'm going to ask, how's this place doing? And we're going to fellowship and talk about the things of God constantly because we love it. We love it. We love it. And there's always something new to learn. He asked him, how much do you love it? And so Jesus comes down, and the number one thing he's trying to deal with in their relationship is the earnestness of their love. The earnestness of their love. And the first question we're going to deal with tonight is the earnestness of our love. Because he put some criteria down here. He said this. He said, lovest thou me, what? More than these. Amen. Lovest thou me more than these? The question is a simple one concerning how we say love, how we say we love the Lord. Do we love him more than these? Now, the wonderful thing is God doesn't tell you what these are. Amen? Because these may be something different for you and you than it is for me. But whatever it is, it's something that we put as a barrier, as a blockade, as a retreating point that I could always run back to whenever I get discouraged in the things of the Lord. And he said, do you love me more than these? Amen. Some say he was talking about the fishing business. He was talking about the brethren that was there. It doesn't matter who he was talking about. When he brings it to us, what are the things that cause us to question our character and our love for him? If he came to you and he said, hey, do you love me more than this? And by the way, he's always going to get what you think is your most prized possession. I love what he did to Abraham. Take thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest. Amen. Amen. And I want you to take him and I want you to sacrifice him. How many of y'all would be up in the morning with a knife in the wood and all that? Amen? And by the way, he did the right thing. He didn't tell Sarah about it. Sarah would have thumped him good, you know. Where you taking my little baby boy at, you old geezer? You ain't taking my, God told me to kill him. God told me to kill you. You lay one hand on him, he got up early in the morning, maybe before she got up, snuck out the door. I don't know. God chose to put Abraham to the test on his love. But you know what? A few chapters before that, God said, because I know what Abraham's going to do. The problem was Abraham didn't know what Abraham was going to do. The question of God asking us about our love is not because he doesn't know the answer. The problem is we don't know the answer. Do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than others? Do you love me more than other things? What would it take to get you to quit? Amen. Maybe a wonderful new job. A job paying you seven figures. Then I don't know what that number comes to. Let's see, six figures is 100,000, right? Seven figures is $1 million. That's a none of y'all won't quit church for $1 million. Then why do you walk out for a bad statement? If I won't quit for $1 million, how can I get offended out the church? Do you love me more than these? The earnestness of his love. And he's going to ask them again. So, in verse number 16, he saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? By the way, when he answered, when Simon Peter answers him, he's going to say, he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. You know what he does? He does a play on words. Jesus asked a question. How many of y'all are familiar with the different words for love? Amen. There's three that many of us know about. One of them is eros. Eros is the sensual, selfish love. Amen? If the truth be known, most people get married under eros love. Amen? Eros love says, I want you for me. Amen? And I don't want anybody else to have you. I want you for me. Amen. It's very selfish. Amen. And until people understand the real meaning of love and the real activity of love, they fall out of love. They say, I don't love you anymore. What that means is I no longer want you for me. That's right. Amen. Why? Because I want somebody else for me. Amen. Eros. Amen. Sensual, sexual, selfish. Amen. Another one is phileo. Amen. That's brotherly love. Amen. That's what we're supposed to have one with another. Amen. And that's that fraternal love. It's the family love. When the church comes together and we call each other's brothers and sisters, that's the phileo love that we show one to another. Amen. It's family. Amen. Family, by the way, in your family you have challenges and you have issues sometimes, amen, because everybody's not the same. But because of the bond of family and love, you stay together, amen. The other one is agape. Agape love is the strongest, most selfless love you can find. That is the love by which God loves us. When the Bible says, for God so loved the world, he's saying, for God so agape the world that he gave. It is the generous love. It gives, looking for nothing in return. Amen? Jesus comes to Peter and says, do you agape me? Peter answers, Lord, I phileo you. Amen? You asking for a great sacrifice from me, and I'm not ready to give it yet. Amen. I don't know how to answer this. And by the way, give Peter some slack here. And the reason why you got to give Peter some slack is because Peter said, I've been down this road before. I opened up my mouth and said that I loved God and I would do these things here, and I let him down. At least I'm going to understand that I'm human and I could possibly make that mistake again. So I'm not going to say I'm going to go all out for you, God. I'm not going to say that, Lord Jesus, because I know I failed before. Amen. Do you agape me, Peter? Simon, do you do it? He said, I phileo you. He said, if you do that, then I need you to feed my lambs. He talks to him a second time, and he says, Peter, do you agape me? Peter says, Lord. And all these other disciples sitting around him again, Lord, I phileo you. And the third time when Jesus talked to him, he said, "Did Peter, do you really phileo me? At least let me meet you where you're at. And Peter gets hurt. And the reason why he's hurt is because he said the Lord asked him that three times. And then Peter, in his hurt, says, Lord, you know all things. By the way, when Jesus told Peter he was going to deny him three times, Peter denied that. Peter recognized, Jesus, you know all things. You know that I agape thee. He changed it around. And just after that, Jesus said, I'm glad you said that, because this is how you're going to die. Amen? Boy, that's encouraging, isn't it? Once I get it straight, now you tell me I'm going to die. But the great thing about it, he says, well, you were young. He said, but Peter, guess what? You're going to die at an old age. That's good news for me. Man, I should have loved you like this sooner, Lord. The earnestness of his love. If God was to ask us tonight, lovest thou me more than these? How many agapes would he get? How many phileos would he get? How many eroses would he get? I'm in church to see what I could get out of it, not what I can give to it. How many? Because he asked that question to Peter, right, Simon, but who else was listening? He's going to question your love. He questioned, we've looked at it in missions. I'm questioning your love and your missions. I'm going to prove the sincerity of your love. If you say you really love me, you won't have any problem giving. If you don't really love me, giving is going to be a struggle for you. The earnestness of his love. Not only the earnestness of his love, I love this. The emphasis of love, verses 16 and 17. He's trying to get Peter and he's trying to get the rest of us in these next two verses. He said, let me get others out of the way. Let me get the other things. Let me get the things out of the way. And let's just concentrate on your love for me. Your love for me. Your love for me. Amen. Let's just concentrate on that. Let's isolate this thing. Amen. Brother, you mind if I use you as an illustration, as an example?
Sure.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I'll send you back, I promise. Amen. I've got Peter. You can have that seat over there. I finally got Peter to the place where he's not looking at you anymore. But what are y'all doing? Y'all looking at him. And I'm saying, Peter, do you love me? I mean, I'm not worried about them anymore. I'm not worried about others. I'm not worried about the fishes. I'm not worried about your failures. Do you love me? Do you love me, Peter?
Yes, I love you.
Yeah, but what kind of love?
Agape.
No, you don't. Not in verse 16. Yes, yeah, see, now, Peter, you know I know all things. And I know you're just saying, you're saying agape love because all these people are watching you. You think I'm on the spot. I'm going to say the right answer. But I really know that you only phileo me. Now, each time I'm going to ask you to do something, I'm going to put your love to the test. The first one, when I asked you if you love me more than these, I asked you to feed my lambs, because lambs are really delicate creatures in the house of God. These little lambs, they're looking for leadership. They're looking for somebody to follow them, just like these other apostles who are in this boat. They look for somebody to follow, and you led them down the wrong way. You led them on a fishing trip when you should have led them into the field. I've already told you that I've changed your livelihood. You're no longer a fisher of fish. I made you to become fishers of men. This is the job, and these little lambs, you're going to lead them astray, Peter, because they don't know any better. They don't know which way to go. Sometimes you're going to have to slow your life down because these little lambs can't run as fast. They can't keep up. Do you love me enough to have patience with them? Do you love me enough to put these others to the side? Do you love me enough to do those things that feed my little lambs? But when you answer that wrong, and I said, do you love me? Then I need you to feed my sheep then. Take care of them. They're a little bit more mature. Maybe they can handle some of the wishy-washy. Maybe they can stand a little stronger. You ever see people that others influence them very easily? And others, it's like, I will not be moved. Amen? We have the little lamb sometimes that will run up to you, and you got the big sheep to step back and say, no, I ain't going to nail you. I don't know you. They're going to put up with that. So he said, at least feed my sheep. At least take care of them. If you take care of the sheep and they do right, they'll take care of the lambs. But at least feed my sheep. Do you love me that much? Can I trust you with that assignment, Peter? Or you can I do that? So you love me. How do you love me? Phileo. Man. Praise the Lord. Did y'all hear what he said? How does he love me? Man. And the problem is, folks, the world is hanging in a balance. Because this is the core of people we're going to use to reach Tucson. This is the core of people we're going to use to reach Arizona. This is the core of people we're going to use to reach the world. Amen. And he doesn't love me. How can he lead them? Amen. Peter, okay. You know, sometimes, don't go anywhere, Peter. We're not finished with you yet, amen. The emphasis of the love. Verse number 17, he says it again. At least, Peter, do you at least, when you say you phileo me, is it really an intense love? Do you at least phileo me with a little bit more intensity than just a brother familiarity? What did I say? Okay, praise the Lord. If you loved me, you wouldn't have corrected me. Heathen. Do you at least phileo me?
Yes, I do.
What do you do?
Phileo.
You phileo me? Not the third time.
The third time,
what do you do? You get a little bit... Not bolder, you get a little bit broken. Watch what Peter does. Get it together, Peter. He says this. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Phileo, is it a constant, continuous phileo love for me? That's what the the emphasis EST stands for. It's a continual action verb. Peter was grieved. You're smiling, Peter. I need grief. Yeah, there you go. Praise the Lord. He's got it. Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest. And by the way, again, the ETH, continual action. You know that 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 even in my brokenness and my foolishness, I really... No, this time you get to agape. Amen. Because I'm telling you, you're getting ready to die. So you better love me. Because I can make this easy. Or I can make this hard. Amen. He said, I really do agape you. Now that I know that you really agape me, then what I'm going to ask you to do is not going to be that hard now. I need you to feed my sheep. Can you do that, Peter? If you love me, I appreciate it, Peter. Appreciate you, my friend. Okay. Amen. Now you're going to die.
Amen.
Because I love you.
Amen. Phileo or agape?
Agape.
Good, because if you'd have said eros, we'd have had a problem. The earnestness of his love, the emphasis of love, and then the evidence of love. The evidence is really simple. And by the way, after Peter made such a grandiose confession that everybody heard, Jesus said, feed my sheep, feed my lamb. He said, when he got them all involved in feeding and got his heart together, and he says, oh, man, Peter, this is awesome. Verily I say unto you, unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself. He's going to tell him how to die. And all of a sudden, something happens with Peter again. Amen. When I talk about the evidence of his love, I want you to feed him. I want you to feed him. I want you to feed him. Peter agrees to feed him. He says, you know that I really love you. And then something happens again. Verse 19. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, since you're going to feed him, follow me, Peter. And then something happens. Verse 20. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus, what? Love. See, it's all about love. It has always been about that. Following, which also leaned on his breath at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, what? Lord, and what shall this man do? Folks, it's a strange thing that happens from one verse to the next. You were broken. Now that you say the right answer and everything's good, seemed like it's going good, Peter, all of a sudden you did something really disturbing. You're worried about what this guy's going to do. I asked you if you love me more than these. I asked you that. And you said you did. I asked you if you were ready to feed my lamb and feed my sheep and feed my sheep, and you said you was because you loved me. And now you're looking around at everybody else. And you're questioning me, asking me what they're going to do. Amen? We don't get any better like that, do we? Well, what about them? What about her? What about him? What about those? You're asking me. And Peter, I'm going to look you in the eye in front of these other folks that is here. And I said, if I would that he should tarry till I come again, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Time for you to take your eyes off of them and keep your eyes focused on me. Because if you don't, you'll worry about them and you'll quit on me again. And you'll quit on me again. And I'll find out that your love really isn't genuine. It's fickle. When God looks at this church, he's not going to look at the pretty building. He's not interested in the boat. Jesus asked no questions about the boat. He's not even going to look at what you got in your hand, your Bible, because he knows the Bible will catch men if you put it out. The net was fine. He's not going to look in Tucson and find out, see if there's any fish out there, because he knows there's a whole lot of lost people out there. Amen. That's not going to be the question. The question is, do you love me enough to go out there and get them? Do you love me enough to take my commission upon you and reach them? Do you have an excuse? Are you looking at somebody else? Shining light will be judged and brought to bear because of the love that you and I show. The rest of them didn't have to answer the question verbally, but they did have to answer that question spiritually. You know why? They were all there together. If I'm going to be what God wants me to be, I need to make sure that my love is for him and for what he wants and nothing else. I can't worry about if somebody else doesn't go with me. There's many times I had to do ministry all by myself. Amen. There's times I had to sing, nobody else around. There's times I had to wave my arms and it's only three people in the audience. And I waved them like it was a crowd of 1,000. Amen. There's times when I had to preach and there's nobody there sometimes but my wife and one or two other people, and I preached like I was preaching to thousands because I had to see within myself, who am I doing this for? Amen. I've caused people to say, well, I don't like it. And I said, you don't have a problem with me. You got a problem with the Lord. Amen. Crowds don't entice me, amen. I still remember believing the thing that where the Bible says that straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto eternal life, and few there be which find it. It's easy to get a big crowd. It's hard to get Christians. Amen. And I've got to love God more than the crowds. I've got to love him more than all of that stuff, because if not, I'm going to get me a net, and I'm going to get me a boat, and I'm going to go fishing, and I'm going to catch nothing, and I'm going to find myself bitter at God when he asks me, have I any meat? Amen? Revival is going to start not with your head. It starts with your heart. And out of that heart should show how much you love him. Amen? He's looking for people to love him with all their heart. Amen? And I can't use superficial love. I can't use Eros love. I can't use a love that's not willing to sacrifice. Because if you try that, guess what's going to happen? Revival's going to tarry. God's going to question. And you and I are going to have to give answers. And I won't be able to blame anybody else. You know, we got some young folks over here that hasn't been saved that long. They're looking. These lambs are looking for people who really love God. They're looking for people who really love God. They're old enough to know that they've been out in this world long enough to see so much foolishness in religion, and they're tired of it. And somehow God brought them here. Amen. And they're looking for real love. Agape love. Not this superficial stuff. How can we encourage them and keep them going? Amen. So those who have been here, come from other places, we're looking for the real thing. I got an idea. What do you say we let God work in our hearts and show them what real love is all about? Amen. If nothing else, let's give them a revival of agape love. Love them into heaven like Jesus did. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Just for a few moments. With every head bowed and every eye closed, just for a few moments. No one looking around. Sister, before you start playing, I just need to ask a question with your heads bowed and eyes closed. Let me ask the question that Jesus asked Peter. How many of us can honestly say that I have that love for Jesus more than these? Because let me tell you something, folks, if we don't, I'll tell you what you need to do, and it's a real simple process. Why don't you take these and throw them down at the altar? Give them to God and let him take those things out of the way and let him use us. Preacher, I got phileo love, and I don't understand agape love, but I got phileo love for him. He said, you know, you can be used with that phileo love. But if you're not ready to sacrifice like you need to, then you're going to question every time I ask you to do something. Shining light, if we do nothing else tonight, if you wouldn't mind, all of those who have that agape love for the Lord in answer to that question, if you wouldn't mind making your way this way, I want you to join hands one with another. And I want you to look as a church, lock arms, and say our love for the Lord will dictate what we're going to be doing for him in this place. You don't have to wait for a note to play. All you have to do is make the move. I'm going to show God agape love. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I know I have failures in my life. But I'm going to show these new people. I'm going to show these old folks. I'm going to show everybody what it's like to really be in love with the Lord Jesus. I know I'm going to fail. I'm going to look around at somebody else, but I'm going to be here, and I'm going to show them. Revival begins with me, and if nothing else, my love for the Lord Jesus is going to be stronger than it's ever been before. Hey, folks, there's people who need to see love. The reason why this place, this world is the way it is because people can't see love anymore, and they need to see it. And the only people who can show them the real love is God's people who have experienced that real love. It's all about him. Pastor Dawson, we're here because we love you, but we're here more because we love the Lord. And we're going to do great things for him together. Shining light will have the power of God on us because we're going to answer the question when he asks us. We're not going to fool around and give a pseudo answer. We're going to tell him the truth right from the beginning. As the piano player does begin to play, let God just stir that heart of love. What am I ready to do for him? Am I ready to feed his sheep? Am I ready to feed his lambs? Worse than that, am I ready to sacrifice my life for him? Is my love for him really going to be real? Or am I just going to acknowledge that I like you a whole lot? I like the Lord a whole lot. See what happens when agape love comes in there? That surrender comes in there. I surrender all. Peter said, I'm ready, Lord. Then midstream, Lord, I love you. I want to do this thing right. I don't want to fake it. I don't want to be hindered by it. I want to do it right. Father, you know our hearts tonight. You know how many of us really can answer that question, Lord, as Peter finally broke down and said, Lord, you know all things. You know each and every heart here tonight. You know each and every one of us, Lord, and how we feel and how we plan on doing things. And in all things, Father, we need to be just following you. Am I in that boat with that crowd, Lord? You said that there was two other disciples, Lord. You didn't name them. But can my love be questioned for you? Am I ready to show others the love of God? Do I have that agape love that makes the difference? You said charity covers the multitude of sin. That's that agape love. Do I have that? Am I working that way? Or, Lord, do you have to question me again and again till I confess who and what I am? Forgive me where I fail you. Lord, thank you, Father, for loving me in spite of me. And Lord, give me the privilege of loving others. And in all things, Lord, I'm just going to be careful to give you the glory. For we pray in Jesus' name, Pastor Dawson.